To talk about all that and more is Dr. Deb Stroman, sports commentator and professor at the UNC Kenan Flagler Business School. Deb, thanks for being here today.
Thank you. There's certainly a lot going on in terms of the sport world, in particular basketball, as you mentioned, that trade. And then, of course, with all of the, I guess you could say, reflections in response to Charlottesville, different athletes expressing their thoughts and opinions as well. But definitely the talk this week is this big NBA trade where the Cleveland Cavaliers star guard, former Duke player Kyrie Irving decided to accept the trade and go to the Boston Celtics.
So what do you make of that deal? Everyone's talking about it as if it's a huge, huge win for Cleveland, which, judging from past history, I have to assume means that it's a huge win for Boston. But I guess we'll find out in the future, right?
Well, it is a win-win for both franchises, but definitely a lot of question marks. Many people, number one, will go to the fact that although Kyrie Irving was always considered a top basketball player in the league, he had not won a championship. He had not taken his team deep into the playoffs without LeBron James. And when you bring in arguably the best basketball player on the talent, he draws double and triple teams, which allows other players to thrive and to succeed. And so that's what propelled Kyrie into his, arguably his playoff mentality, where you give him the ball, you know, with the last, 8 seconds on a shot clock or key shots during these playoff games, and he succeeds. But basketball is definitely a team sport, and you have to think about who is setting those picks, who's drawing all those other players to their attention so that you can excel. So going to a young team like Boston, as he stated, he wanted to be the focal point. He wanted to be the center of attention on a team, which is very interesting for a point guard mentality. I guess I'm really old school because I believe the point guard is supposed to be more like the coach out there, and you aren't supposed to draw a lot of attention. But Kyrie is going to a young team with lots of talent and being coached by Brad Stevens, who very much is the analytics coach. And so that means pass the ball a lot and find the open person. So perhaps Kyrie was just bitter about how some situations were handled earlier in the year, where the Cavs were talking about making a move to bring in Paul George, another NBA star. But Kyrie's going to get his chance to prove his ability to be a team leader and also to be that center of attention.
And then on the Cavaliers side, I've got Isaiah Thomas coming in. Obviously, he really stepped up during the playoffs for Boston. He's been great. What do you make of that fit with Cleveland with LeBron James? Does it make them better? Is it going to be better chemistry? Are they going to have a better chance of winning the title next year?
Well, there's no doubt that Golden State has the chemistry and the coaches to be in the West Coast Finals. But everybody on the West Coast who's been in the playoffs the past 2 or 3 years has improved as well. So that will always be a tight race. But this new style of pass the ball and be very, very, I guess you could say, more of an open court play, that is definitely the ticket. But you have to have the right players to do that, and Golden State will continue to do that. But what is interesting on the East now, because people thought that Cleveland gave Golden State their best shot and fell short by a lot. But now with Isaiah Thomas coming in, who is an all-star, he led the Celtics to the best record in the Eastern Conference last year, and he averages nearly 29 points a game, almost 6 assists, and he plays long minutes. So I know LeBron James and the rest of the team, they're very happy to get someone who can score like that and who will draw those double and triple teams. The other interesting thing and why people say that the Cleveland might have the advantage is that not only did they get Isaiah Thomas, but they got two other players, one being a young Jay Crowder, about a 6'6 tweener, as in he can play a 2 and a 3 and a 4. And he was really a big part of the Celtics last year. And they received the Nets first-round draft pick next year in 2018. So Cleveland really, really got a lot for Kyrie Irving. And some will say that's what it would take to move Kyrie Irving. But people are excited about what the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to show next year, having this young talent that just has a lot of passion. And he's just a fan favorite. When you watch him play, the way he's able to contort his body and make all these different shots and I know he's going to be excited to be able to play against someone who will also draw two or three players so he can even do more out there on the court.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, sports commentator, Keenan Flagler, business school professor. And Deb, you mentioned the other sort of big news that people are talking about on the level of professional sports, which is the extent to which and the way in which athletes and professional sports figures on and off the field are responding to the controversy surrounding Charlottesville, the debate around racism, white supremacy, the role in the place of Confederate memorials across the country, and racism in general. The protest that Colin Kaepernick started last year is continuing. There are now white players and African Americans who are both taking knees for the national anthem, which was a long time coming, but is finally happening now after more than a year. What's your take on the way that athletes are responding to all of those and what they're saying and what they could be saying that they're not?
Well, once again, sport often serves as a mirror for society. And then also it is that visionary place where people look to sport for change, for reform, and how to respond. And the sport industry, whether it's college or pro, there's no doubt you have some people, whether it's coaches or athletes, who are making sure that their statement, their opinions are being held, being heard. And we can look no further than LeBron James and his immediate statements concerning how hurtful it was for what happened in Charlottesville. He also went political a bit, well, I won't say a bit, a lot, and he called President Trump the so-called president, which resonated with a lot of people. At Charlottesville, Tony Bennett, head coach of men's basketball, he came out with a statement, and he has not been shy in terms of things that affect his athletes, in particular his African-American basketball players, that he stands with them during these very challenging racial times in America. This isn't the first time that he's spoken out. Also, looking at the football team, I thought it was interesting. The head coach of the football team at Virginia, his comments were more general. He did not address it as deeply as Tony Bennett did, which is, Coach Mendenhall. He did not address it as more detailed and naming the hatred that's out there. So it's interesting what's going on in the Charlottesville community in terms of the way the football coach handled it versus the basketball coach. Across the nation, we're watching, I guess you could say, part two with Colin Kaepernick and his situation. There are many people calling for a boycott of the NFL season this year. And a number of protesters were in New York City to protest in front of the NFL corporate office, asking Roger Goodell for a meeting to talk about exactly how can you have a player who has been deemed to have the talent of starters, of a starter. And this is not just some fans. These are head coaches who've said that Colin Kaepernick could start for teams, but yet he's not getting an opportunity to go to camp or join a roster. And so across the nation, you have a lot of activism in the sport world around how can we have this type of equity and inclusion, want more diversity in sports on the field as owners and managers, and yet we just have a glaring, glaring example that makes all of us pause and say, what is going on in America? Are these truly the values that we express? Can we live them? Can we live up to what that flag means and what the Statue of Liberty means and what it means to protest and march? There's just a lot of question marks going on right now in the sport world in terms of the empowerment of people of color.
And I wanted to get your take on that also, kind of in terms of off the field and the business side of the sport of football, because ratings have been down for the last year plus, and that's been very much talked about. And you've got conservatives who use that and take the opportunity to say, well, ratings are down because Colin Kaepernick and other players are speaking out and they're being political and people don't like that, and that's why they're tuning out. And I'm sure there are a few people who are doing doing that for that reason. You've also got people on the other side who say, I'm going to tune out because Colin Kaepernick is being blackballed and the NFL is on the wrong side of this issue. You've got people who I presume are tuning out because there have been a lot of cases of specifically domestic violence involving NFL players. You've got people who are tuning out because of the report and the study and the study and the study that keeps coming out involving the health of football players, these CTE studies, concussion studies, the big one that just came out from Boston a little while ago, and tuning out for that reason. And I don't think there's a lot of overlap between the people who are tuning out for reason A and the people who are tuning out for reason B. It's separate people that are tuning out for different reasons. And with all of that in mind, what does a league like the NFL do in response to all of that? It seems like they're going to have to do a whole bunch of different things in order to maintain the sports dominance in the business world that they've had in the past.
Well, you're exactly right on that. I'm reminded of a quote from Art Modell, the former owner of the Cleveland Browns and Baltimore Ravens. He was quoted as saying, "We're a bunch of fat cat Republicans who vote socialists on football." And they really, really believe in the shield. And even though you can have owners like Jerry Jones who want to elevate the Dallas Cowboys beyond the rest of the league, they even put Jerry Jones in his place. Same thing with Robert Kraft with the New England Patriots, that they want to make sure that the way we all win, the way we make millions and millions of dollars, is that we must act as a unit. And we can't have any type of rogue or outlier type actions which will hurt the league and the revenues. But what I think about isn't so much what the NFL will do, because they have a history of not moving very fast in these types of activities or these areas of racial contention, unlike the NBA. What I'm thinking about is the advertisers who pay the bills for the NFL. Right now, this boycott is focused on the NFL. Let's not watch. Well, the advertisers who pay millions of dollars to have their exposure on these NFL games, they're looking at, well, if our market is not going to be watching the games, why should we pay the NFL this money? So I would not be surprised to see advertisers putting pressure on the NFL to address this. And if not, then you'll see people considering breaking their contract, or not breaking their contract, but not renewing. And so the NFL will definitely be hurt in the pocket. Again, not directly, but in terms of what the advertisers with these corporations are going to say, you're taking away a big part of our fan base, the people who buy our products and services, and that has to be a concern. Also, when you think about the demographics of the fan base for the NFL, there is no doubt that the women love the NFL, and they are definitely more in tune with these types of issues. That's what the studies say. So you have to think about what the women are feeling, especially in terms of these health and medical conditions. And then when you have Black and Latino folks who are saying that this is not right in terms of equity for Colin Kaepernick and other Black players, it is. It's a double whammy for the NFL, and Roger Goodell is going to have to step up, or once again he'll be faced with a lot of criticism in terms of his leadership. Now, I do note that he just received a big contract extension. But as you know, things can change very, very fast.
Absolutely. Dr. Deb Stroman, we got to let you go. Thank you so much.
Thank you.